NBC's Scott Walterman says you can call the group the Friends of Syria.
Lynn, this meeting will be happening on the sidelines at the United Nations. The group plans to urge Syria's fractured opposition to unite, seeking a new path for ending the country's civil war. The talks do not include Russia, China, or Iran.
No bail for the man behind the anti-Islamic video. He's in jail in Los Angeles on charges he violated his probation for check fraud. Police are still trying to determine why a man opened fire at a Minneapolis business. He killed four people, wounded four others, then killed himself. And the NFL officials got a standing ovation last night when they took the field in Baltimore for their first game back since the end of the lockout. Baltimore won the game without any controversial calls. This is NBC News Radio. The Mars rover is already producing some really big data for the space program. Here's NBC's Savannah Guthrie with details.
NASA scientists studying the images beamed back from the Mars rover say they are seeing clear evidence in the size and shape of rocks that there was once a fast-moving stream, perhaps even a river, that once flowed there, possibly for thousands of years. That, of course, begs the big question, was there ever life on Mars?
New York is getting the world's tallest Ferris wheel. At 625 feet tall, it will be more than twice as high as the Statue of Liberty. And the mystery of Jimmy Hoffa gets a revival today. Michigan environmental officials will begin to take soil samples from a suburban Detroit driveway. A man says he saw a body being buried there 35 years ago, about the time Hoffa disappeared. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where agents digest knowledge like billy goats, and this is a pop quiz. How do you cover a motorcycle that costs more to paint than to buy? The answer? Optional equipment coverage. And if you work with a farmer's agent, they can make sure your bike's got coverage for everything from saddlebags to sidecars. Giddy up.
If you want answers about motorcycle insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, bum, bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
The economic mess of 4 years ago and the barely existent recovery since have convinced many Americans to prop up their credentials. But the Council of Graduate Schools reports that in 2011, enrollment in graduate schools fell again, just like in 2010, following initial increases in 08 and 09. Simple reason, says the council, people can't afford it. The embarrassing IPO for Facebook stock back in May, with all those NASDAQ glitches, is but one reason Facebook shares dropped so quickly from their opening price. The bigger reason is the fact Facebook thus far has failed to turn its immense global popularity into a big revenue-generating enterprise. That's why its latest unveiling could change some minds. Facebook announcing an online gift service, which allows people to send real gifts to friends, with the social network, of course, getting a piece of the action. Stock futures turning from higher to now a little bit lower. S&P, NASDAQ futures each down a point, Dow futures down 10 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade. I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-264-0212 and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-264-0212. That's 800-264-0212.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
The chilly weather's just around the corner, folks, and a lot of people will be adjusting their thermostat down to save money. Quicken Loans has an adjustable rate mortgage that saves money, too. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans, and I'd like to tell you about our amazing 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The initial rate on this great program is just 2.625%, APR 2.94%. Do you want to reduce the cost of your mortgage? Do you plan on moving or refinancing in the next 5 to 7 years? Do you want the lowest rate available? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, our Quicken Loans 7-1 arm could save you stacks of cash. Again, the super low initial rate is 2.625%, APR 2.94%, and it's locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Why pay a boatload more interest on a 30-year fix to borrow the same amount of money for the next 7 years? With a 7-1 arm, you don't have to. Call 800-QUICKEN right now. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License now.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Welcome, everybody. Apologize for that. Just a minor technical difficulty. We've got it all worked out. Good morning for you. It is Friday, the 28th day of September 2012. That would mean Monday's 30 days. Yeah, that means Monday. It's October already. Sweet Jesus, where does the time go? Which means we are literally 39 days away from Election Day, and a lot to get to. We're going to walk through a couple of the proposals today. We're going to take a look from the Truth Squad at one of them and ask ourselves the question whether you're for or against Proposal 3, which is the 20 by 25 proposal. Are they telling the truth? It's just a sampling, if you will, of some of the things that we have to deal with as we work our way through the election cycle. There's no question in my mind, of course, that you need to be informed and educated. People obviously are going to make their decision based on how they feel about all of these proposals, but we're trying to give you good foundational information. But before we get to all of that, I'm going to run down the guest list today in just a moment here. I do want to remind you that it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to make sure that we are doing our little part to spread the word, whether that's sharing this radio program with somebody. Yeah, I know that's a little self-serving. It's what I do. Whether that's attending a community meeting and having the courage to stand up and say something on behalf of something you believe in, whatever it is, just try to remember that it's going to take us all to do a little bit more moving forward. As we take a look at our list of guests today, it seems that our conversation yesterday with the campaign chairman of the Mike Duggan for Mayor campaign, Conrad Mallett Jr., got the ire of the Michigan Nurses Association, not because we asked the question, is Mike Duggan a union buster? It was because of his answer, which, according to John Caribbean, the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association, Mr. Mallett Jr. was either terribly ill-informed or flat-out lied about what happened during the negotiations, or lack thereof, recruiting the nurses into the Michigan Nurses Association. John, of course, asked for equal time. John, of course, gets it. And we'll talk to him just after 7 o'clock at 7:35. We'll take a look at Proposal 4, the home health care proposal that would mandate and require. I guess that's the same thing, isn't it? You know, amongst other things, that there are background checks done. These are about safety issues. It's about allowing these people to organize. And so we'll walk through Proposal 4 in the 7:30 half hour as we continue our ongoing series to educate you on the proposals. At 8:06, Rick Haglund joins us, journalist extraordinaire. And he is a referee with the Michigan Truth Squad. They're going to take a look at Proposal 3, the 20 by 25 initiative that I just mentioned, and tell us who's telling us the truth. And maybe it'll be more of a matter of who's telling the truth more often. We'll get to that. Dan Stamper joins us from the Ambassador Bridge Company. However you feel about the Maroons one way or another, they have, of course, sponsored a proposal, Proposal 6 on the ballot, that would allow the Michigan voters to decide if the bridge should be built. Governor Snyder, for all his faults, of course, wants the bridge, and we all want the bridge. That's not the question here. The question is, the governor feels that by executive order, and I guess legally, he can go around the legislative process, and he has. Of course, there's been lots of mudslinging going back and forth for months on this, and as we know, millions of dollars have been spent to spin this one way and or the other. Well, Dan Stamper will be in studio with me. We're going to ask him all about that and ask him why you should support Proposal 6, or not, for that matter. And then, of course, Joe DeSano joins us in our last hour, as he does every Friday, because it wouldn't be a Friday without Brother Joe. With all that said, let's get this first shift program going. It's time to punch in.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, our first word this morning, interestingly enough, is courage. And it's courage for a variety of reasons. If you are looking at the news, if you're watching what's going on, especially at the national level, I think what we're finding, the closer we get to Election Day, the better the president continues to do in the polls, that the GOP lacks one thing, and that's courage. When you can't run on your own ideas, and you can't run on your own record, and you say what you want to about President Obama, yes, the economy could be better, yes, there's more he could have done and should have done and whatever, but at least he's not running away from who he is and what he's done, both what he's accomplished and what he has failed to get done. He's actually been the first one to bring it up. It's the Republicans that lack the courage to continue to present their own plan because, frankly, they don't want us to know what it is. Courage is something that takes a great deal of strength, fortitude, loyalty, honesty, and tenacity to embrace. And if you don't have that particular recipe, chances are you have no idea what courage is. If you've ever stood in the face of something either the majority disagreed with, that you agreed with, or that you knew was right and you stood up for it anyway, well, you begin to get a flavor of what courage is all about. You want to talk about courage? Ask every man and woman that has served in the military, especially at times of great conflict. Well, they know about courage more than I ever will, and I will never consider myself to be anywhere close to anybody that's ever served in the active military. It takes great courage to do that. I don't care if you were drafted. You were forced into service. You still had to show up and do your job. And I'll bet you that if we went out and surveyed, I don't know, less than 10 people that served, every one of them would tell you, once they were there with their new families, understanding the mission, they showed up and they punched in every day. Ladies and gentlemen, that takes courage. Courage is something the Republicans just don't have. In fact, what they do have right now is obfuscation. They know how to lie, and they know what the end game is, and it's about winning. And I'm hoping that as we watch the polls and the American people are beginning to wake up, maybe President Obama isn't the perfect president. Maybe he's not done everything he promised he would do. But at least he's been able to show us that he has courage. And courage is today's first word. Okay, We move on. We don't have a whole lot of time before the break, but I'll bring Anthony in. We can certainly get to the baseball game yesterday afternoon, where both Anthony and Kevin Lang, who's in studio with us every day, both attended last night, or yesterday afternoon, not together, but they were both there together. And, A, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning to you.
Quite a game yesterday afternoon. We really do. I mean, you've got to start by talking about the starting pitcher, Doug Fister. That is the story of the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 10 consecutive or 9 consecutive strikeouts. I mean, that was just amazing to see.
Well, he set a Tigers record. He set an American League record. And he almost tied a Major League record, which would have been 10. It would have taken 11 to break it. Still, he was, the best part about that, Anthony, is he was totally clueless as to what he had done.
Yeah, I mean, they showed it up on the screen, and it took even a few minutes for the fans to realize what was going on. And once they did, everybody gave him a standing ovation, and then he kept pitching. But then you could see him as he was walking to the dugout. Feeler went into his ear, and, you know, we watched the interview earlier and whispered to him, and he said, go in the dugout. And
the guys will tell you that. And he ended up walking into the dugout. Justin Verlander took him aside and told him what happened and what he accomplished, and he couldn't believe it. The best part about that is, and I know you don't know this story, he was in the clubhouse, did his interviews, of course, and was very humble. Doug Fister's a very humble guy. Anyway, at that point, Quinton Berry was there with his 11-month-old son, who I guess is there all the time. He's in the clubhouse all the time with the guys. And so he turned to Doug Fister and he said, would you mind watching my kid while I take a shower? So Doug Fister babysat for a little while Quinton Berry was in taking a shower, and the reporters all noticed that Fister got on the ground with Quinton Berry's kid and played with him until he was done with his shower. I just thought that was a great little story.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I bet you that's the first time somebody's had to babysit after breaking a major league record.
I would think that there's probably some truth to that, so it was really great. The good news is, before we have to get to the break here, is the Tigers won yesterday. They are now 2 games up on the Chicago White Sox. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk about the last 6 games, what they have to do, what they'd like to do, and then maybe a little bit of what they need to do. But 2-game cushion ain't so bad. But, again, it's going to take some work. And then, of course, we'll take a look at football this weekend, and then lots of stuff going on in the world of politics, both locally and nationally. So stay where you're at. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. We'll continue with this Friday program right after we do this.
With Tony. Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
If you're traveling on Southfield Road, eastbound near Washington Ave, there's been reports of a vehicle heading in the wrong direction. So be cautious when traveling in that area. Other than that, there are no accidents to report on your roads. However, we do have construction blocking 2 lanes, I-75 northbound between East Holly and Grange Hall Road until 7 a.m. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve receive everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Triano. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, the callers always come first, and we got one, so we'll get to the rest of what we were talking about in a minute, but let's welcome Amir in Detroit to First Shift. Good morning, my brother. I hope you are well on this Friday morning.
I am great, and I hope you're well also, Tony.
I am, thank you.
Now, let's take a look at this. In most communities, we know that the educational, the school system is a major part of what keeps people in the community and brings people to the community, correct?
Oh, no question that's true.
Well, if Mike Duggan was the appointed person over our schools when they first took him over in 1999, and I asked people, what did he do then to ensure that our school system was going to be safe and sound? And really, he did nothing, because if you look at our school system today, it's because of what he and that appointed board did. And that was the way to bust the union. So to Mike Duggan, if your people are listening, everywhere you go in the city of Detroit, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to make sure people remember that you are the one, a part of it, that destroyed our school system, which in turn destroyed our city.
Fair enough. You know, Amir, we've got there was a claim made yesterday by Conrad Mallett Jr., who's chairing Mike Duggan's mayoral run and his campaign. And he had, you know, I had asked him about him being a union buster. He vehemently denied that, gave a bunch of reasons why that wasn't true, only to have the Michigan Nurses Association call during the interview to tell us that they were lying to us. So they will be here this morning at 7 o'clock to set the record straight.
And that's why I wanted to make sure that when I heard you this morning, I heard bits and pieces of it yesterday, but this morning when you said they were going to be on, I wanted to add a fuel to the fire to help what they're talking about, because they're true. It's true. The biggest union in the city of Detroit, or two of the biggest unions, was the engineering and maintenance department in the school system and our teachers. They already destroyed the engineering and maintenance department, and now they're trying to eliminate teachers' unions. They're trying to eliminate unions. Mike Duggan, he is a union buster. He do not care. He's a corporatist. He's not a Democrat or a Republican. He's literally a corporatist. His whole thing is how much money him and his friends can make, because they all got rich off my tax dollar.
Absolutely. Right. Well, listen, we're going to hold, I said this yesterday, we're going to hold everybody's feet to the fire. If somebody's going to run for the mayor of the city of Detroit, they're going to have to do it understanding that there is going to be the world's biggest magnifying glass on them, that no one's getting away with anything this time around.
And just to say this, just think, if I burned your house down, came 3-4 months later and said, hey, let me build your house again, if you knew I burned it down in the first place, would you want me to rebuild it?
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, brother. Have a good weekend. I appreciate that. Well, there's some right. Listen, we're going to get a lot of pushback to Mike Duggan. I can tell you that. Just the reaction to the show yesterday was fairly overwhelming. Let me bring Anthony back in and let's finish up our conversation with the Tigers and then look at football for the weekend. But again, as I said, the Tigers are now 2 games up on the Chicago White Sox, who are in a 1-for-7 skid over the last 8 games. And, of course, they've got a little tougher end of the season than we do, although you kind of got to look at our record against both Minnesota and Kansas City, especially on the road this year. Well, Kansas City, it's 3-3. Or Minnesota, it's, what is it? I think it's, we're a little better against them. But Kansas City, we've had a tough time winning at Kauffman Stadium. So there's no givens this weekend. They've got to show up.
No, not at all. And actually what I was looking up this morning was the Tigers actually have the best home record in baseball, tied with Cincinnati, and they're like the second from worst road record, which I thought was kind of interesting.
It's actually very telling, is it not? So there's lots of reasons to be nervous. By the way, the Facebook poll question of the day today, Anthony, is will the Tigers make the playoffs? That's basically, I mean, it's a little more involved than that, but that's basically the question. So if you want to answer the poll, just go to First Shift Facebook page and answer it there. Well, before we talk about football this weekend, we need to talk about not the game last night, which the Ravens won. We need to talk about the replacement referees being hopefully retired forever. The real referees come back, and Anthony, they got a standing ovation from the crowd.
Yeah, that was nice to see. That will never happen again, but it was nice to see the refs come back. I didn't watch any of the games, so I didn't notice a difference, but I'm just going to be happy this Sunday knowing that the Lions are going to be on a fair playing field.
Well, I would suggest that perhaps at stadiums all over the country this weekend, you might see some standing O's, and you're right. It won't happen after this week, but listen, after what we've had to endure the first 4 weeks of the season, it's good to have professionals back. There's a reason, folks, that we have collective bargaining. It's exactly for our situations like this. You should have the best possible people doing the best possible job. Just saying. All right, let's take a look. We only have a couple games this weekend. Michigan has a bye. So if you want to cue up the music, Anthony, I'm ready to go. Michigan State plays Ohio State. And I got to tell you, Ohio State, although they're not the Ohio State of old, have found a way to win this year. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe in Maxwell, State's quarterback, and I can't pick them this weekend. I've got to go with Ohio State.
Oh, really? Ohio State?
Sorry, I've got to do it.
Oh, I'm just joking. I was actually going to go with Ohio State, too. Maxwell is really just that bad. Michigan State is the defense, but they got that Braxton Miller QB for Ohio State. Now, I think he'll figure out a way to score a couple touchdowns against them.
Yep. I don't see this being a high-scoring game. I don't see it being a blowout by any measure, because Michigan State does have a great defense. But I don't see them having enough offense to win this thing. And what was supposed to be a championship year for Michigan State, I don't know what that was based on, because you were talking about an untested and unproven quarterback. Well, we're kind of getting the answer. He just has not stepped up, and I would think they're probably pretty heavily recruiting quarterbacks right now. That would just be my guess. But Anthony and I are both going with Ohio State. So you remember, we've got to start keeping track now, so you got to write down our picks so we can see how good or bad we are at this. After the weekend's over. Of course, I said Michigan has a bye week this week, which means they are not playing, so I'll pick them not to win, and I'll also pick them to win, because both things happen. And we now move on to the Detroit Lions, who play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, Anthony. Anytime Jared Allen has anything to do with anything, it makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, The guy's an animal out there. I mean, he averages like 15 sacks a season, which is just ridiculous.
Well, he has, in his career, 12 and a half sacks against the Lions, although that's not as well as he's done against some other teams, but still, 12 and a half sacks against one team in and of itself is pretty good. He has a couple picks. He has a couple pick sixes. He has a couple safeties. Yeah, he's an animal, but we got to pick this one, so I'll let you go first. The Detroit Lions versus the Minnesota Vikings.
I mean, first of all, it's a must-win, and we're going to win, so I'm going to put a 10-point deficit on the win.
All right, so Lions are going to win by 10.
By 10.
All right, well, listen, I'm not just being a homie. I do believe the Lions will win this game, and it is a must-win. We are at home. It is a sold-out game. The crowd will be with us. Whether Matt Stafford plays or not is another question, but I don't care. Sean Hill is more than capable. I'll go with Anthony. Lions win by at least 10. All right, we've got to get to the break. We'll come back. Lots to get to. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Man, we ate up that first half hour awfully fast. Let's take the break. Thanks for punching in. It's a Friday First Shift program. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
If you're traveling on Southfield Road, eastbound near Washington Ave, there's been reports of a vehicle heading in the wrong direction, so be cautious when traveling in that area. Other than that, there are no accidents to report on your roads. However, we do have construction blocking two lanes, I-75 northbound between East Holly and Grange Hall Road until 7 a.m. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69. And it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
Junior Senator from the state of Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, who joins us now.
You know, we in Michigan are a tough, independent lot. Folks expect you to work hard and earn their vote, and so I work hard to do that every day. And having lived in Michigan my whole life, I feel a real commitment to Michigan to make sure that I'm there in the middle of the fights that are going to make the difference for us.
On 1310 WDTW.
Mark Hanna, the Karl Rove of the old robber baron era, explained long ago that there are two things that are important in politics. The first is money, and I can't remember the second. In just the past decade, corporate cash has moved from merely talking in our elections to shouting, and now to sliming. A new report by two public interest organizations, Demos and U.S. PIRG, documents that the people's voice was shouted down in this year's presidential primaries by a tsunami of slime, an unprecedented wave of negative super PAC ads financed by a few plutocratic super donors. How few? Only 1,082, a mere 0.0004% of the U.S. population put up 94% of the cash for all the super PAC ads. Well, over half of that money came from, get this, only 47 special interest funders putting up $1 million or more each. Far from providing electoral enlightenment, a staggering 70% of this year's presidential ads have been negative attacks, mostly vitriolic, depressingly nasty ads. That's up from only 9% 4 years ago. Count on this ugly money assault growing more extreme this fall as unlimited cash floods directly from corporate coffers into secret front groups run by the likes of Karl Rove and the Koch brothers. In July, the Senate debated a modest bill to require that corporate donors who are spreading this slime at least have to tell voters who they are. But a Republican filibuster shut down the debate and prevented a vote from even being taken. GOP leader Mitch McConnell rose on his hind legs to defend the clandestine corporate purchase of the People's Democratic Authority, bizarrely blathering that disclosing the names of the purchasers would amount to donor harassment. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the full report, go to demos.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I will just briefly mention this because it is noteworthy, as I'm sure many of you are aware. Today in Roseville, Michigan, police and environmental experts, will be digging up a portion of somebody's driveway on the quite remote chance that Jimmy Hoffa is buried underneath a slab of cement there. I bring this up for a variety of reasons. Those of you that don't remember the historical significance of this, well, go do some search engine stuff. But the bottom line is the police feel that the witness that are, well, yeah, I guess he is a witness that has come forward as credible enough and told a credible enough story for them to believe that they're is probably something or someone under that slab. Whether or not it's James Hoffa is an entirely different question, and the experts at this point are saying, and that would be law enforcement experts, are saying they do not expect to find Jimmy Hoffa buried there, but they are, will not be surprised if they find someone or something buried there. They did do some radar testing on that area. They did see something. There was enough of an image that it's actually a kind of like an X-ray that will go certain feet into the ground through cement, etc. They saw something in there that led them to believe that there's something in there. So what will happen with that, of course, we will know throughout the day. And indeed, if they do find remains, and I don't know that it's going to be today, they are going to do soil samples. You've got to remember this was 1975, so many, many years ago. It's not like what they're going to find under there is a preserved body, because it won't be. And even if they do find something, they will have to do DNA testing. So the reality is, I don't believe that we'll know anything too terribly definitive today. But it is intriguing. A lot of people have asked the question, why would they, all these years later, continue to investigate this? Well, it's a crime, and somebody went missing. And whether you like or dislike Jimmy Hoffa, he was somebody's father. He was somebody's husband. He was somebody's uncle, friend, etc. The family has a definitive right to closure. Again, doesn't really matter how you feel about anybody. They do have a right to closure. And so we will, I think that continuing to pursue this, and remember how this was a national high-profile case, you know, it's certainly worthy of the time and even the money it takes to do these kinds of things, no question about it. So we'll see what happens as we work our way throughout the day. All right, let's get into some local news. Dave Bing, through the new city charter, is required to meet in little town hall meetings with residents periodically, and he has been doing that according to the charter. The problem that he's been running into at many of these meetings is that the rank and file of the Detroit Police Department are incredibly unhappy with him because he is basically forcing them to live in poverty. These are the people that protect and defend the people of the city of Detroit, and you can take issue with them all you want, but when you go from making an okay living, and I didn't say a great living, an okay living to barely making it, well, you've got a right to be upset. And then when concessions are forced on you, when you have a collective bargaining agreement, well, that complicates things even further. This audio from WDIV recounts yesterday when Dave Bing made an attempt to fulfill his obligation to the city charter.
The mayor has been heckled before at these community meetings, but he always completed them. Tonight, though, here at Martin Luther King High School, it was clear from the get-go that if the mayor couldn't talk, he would walk. And that's exactly what happened.
Mayor Dave Bing.
Mayor.
Mayor Bing and his staff tried to field questions ranging from 12-hour cop schedules to buses to Belle Isle.
Belle Isle needs to be improved. It needs to be maintained. The city does.
But most of the answers could not be heard above the heckling. The shouts came primarily from Detroit police officers and their supporters.
The Detroit Police Department was involved in a study that was conducted in 2006.
The deputy mayor asked for quiet.
We're not going to continue this meeting if we continue to have outbursts. No peace,
no peace. Finally, the mayor and the others walked out. The hecklers outraged 80-year-old Bernice Smith.
I'm disgusted. Detroit makes me sick. Every time he has a meeting like this, they act a fool. Let the man talk. Why can't he talk? Why can't he talk? Huh?
What did you accomplish by breaking up the meeting?
I'm not trying to break up their meeting. I'm just trying to get my voice and our voices heard that they need to understand that we're the frontline defense.
The mayor said later that mob-like antics do not reflect the city's quiet majority.
It's unfortunate that the real citizens in our city who come here to ask questions or complain or get some answers can't be heard because of the disruption.
These meetings are required under the new city charter. The mayor says they will continue, but he set a precedent here tonight. If it's all about noise, he'll cut it short again.
Well, then I guess he's going to be cutting a lot of them short. Protest is protected under First Amendment privilege. And if he can't seem to find the courage, going back to our first word, to make these relationships work more harmoniously, it's called leadership, Mr. Mayor. Well, then you're going to have to deal with these disruptions. All right. Amongst the many issues that will be decided on November 6th is whether or not to retain Public Act 4, which is the emergency manager law. Now, there was a lawsuit that was filed yesterday by our friends at the Sugar Law Center saying that, in essence, there is no law at this point, creating quite a lot of legal confusion. Of course, the Attorney General has a very different take on this. But Detroit Public Schools Superintendent John Telford decided that it was time to give his opinion on Prop 1. This is what he had to say to Fox 2.
Dr. John, you want to see this law go down in flames. Why?
I want to see it go down in flames because it is a law that absolutely hurts the Detroit Public Schools. The Detroit Public Schools have been for 11 of the past 13 years under the aegis of the state. And why the state took us over in 1999, I don't know, because we had a $93 million surplus, and we were scoring right at the midpoint of the state scores. So why us? Why take us over? When they took us over, we started to nosedive, and we've been doing it ever since. We now have a good board. We've got a good board president, and we've got a good superintendent, if I say so myself. So, you know, let's get rid of this Public Act 4 by voting no on Proposal 1.
All right. Well, Maureen Taylor, who we briefly spoke of the other day in her outrage about new mandatory taking away of benefits to families that don't send their kids to school, also spoke out about Proposal 1. And Maureen Taylor is the state chair of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. Again, from Fox 2, this is what Maureen Taylor had to say.
Maureen, if elected officials aren't balancing the budget, why not send in somebody who can?
This country is based on laws and rules and democracy. And what we like here is we prefer democracy. We want to vote on activities. We want to vote on resolutions.
Well, this law was voted on, passed by the legislature, by a Democratic governor 20 years ago.
I remember it well. What we want to do is we want to vote on things. We don't want elections overturned. Public Act 4 has to be defeated. We don't want that. We want democracy. We don't want folks coming in to say you're not doing the right thing, so we'll set somebody over it, and they'll make the decisions for you. That's not what the country was based on.
And it is not what the country was based on. With all due respect to Hill Perkins, who was giving Maureen Taylor a hard time there, the law that was passed 20 years ago and signed by a Democratic governor was Public Act 72, which some would say is what we reverted to. It does allow for emergency financial managers. It does give them some power, but not the sweeping powers that Public Act 4 does. Sweeping powers is the key phrase there. Public Act 4 took away democracy from the communities that these emergency managers were forced upon. under Public Act 4, which by you would think anybody's measure would be considered unconstitutional because it literally is taxation without representation. And there's only really one person that makes that decision, and that is the governor of the state of Michigan. Oh, yes, there's a process, and yes, they go through a review. Oh, and yes, it is measured and weighed and all that happy horse crap. But at the end of the day, it is at the whim of a governor, and whatever the governor wants, the governor gets under Public Act 4. So, this is, of course, the irony. Under Public Act 4, if I am an emergency manager, I'm going to get paid, oh, I don't know, over $200,000 a year. That has to come from the same community that doesn't have money. Oh, but that's okay, because this is how they plan to pay for it. It's pretty simple. You fire the mayor. You fire the city council. You fire anybody else you want. You get rid of the collective bargaining agreements. You get rid of the unions. And all of a sudden, you've got more money than you know what to do with. So paying that person's salary, frankly, isn't that big a deal. The money automatically just appears. It's like magic. But that's okay. We don't need democracy, do we? We don't need the people that we elect to make the decisions, whether they're right or wrong, whether they're good or bad. Because we do have to live with our decisions once we vote. God knows we know that. Well, you know, let's go back to this piece for just one moment and ask ourselves this question. When the state took over the Detroit Public Schools, they were $93 million in the black. They were not having problems. But the state saw an opportunity in 1999 to grab the money as the city of Detroit had just approved a bond issue that was going to provide them flush with cash. Where'd that money go? How was it spent? Where's the accounting for that? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're hardly done with this topic. Let's take a quick break here. We'll get to a call right after that. 888-552-3595. Public Act 4 is one of the worst crimes ever perpetuated upon the people of the great state of Michigan. We'll be back.
First shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, Governor only took a leave of absence from his company to go save the Olympics. And he ended up not going back at all and retired retroactively to February of 1999.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday morning. Now my blood's boiling a little bit. Public Act 4, the greatest crime ever committed on the great people of the great state of Michigan. There's no question the Republicans stole democracy in 2010. I want it back. 888-552-3595. Les in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, fellow patriots. Man, Tony, you got my blood boiling, too. Every time I hear about this dictator bill, it just does something to me. I don't understand America right now. We send our troops overseas to fight in foreign lands to fight for democracy for them so they can have what we have in America. But what do we have if we allow this Public Act 4 to continue to exist? We don't have a democracy in America. When they came over and took over Detroit's public schools, that was the most egregious act. It, to me, was the shot not heard around the world. Because when they came and took the liberties of Detroiters away to elect their own school board, to I guess be in control of their own destiny, then they took away free speech and democracy in Detroit. So I'm with you, you know, and you hammer this home as often as you can, because it is the most egregious piece of legislation in America that could never exist if we want to promote freedom and democracy around the world.
Well, you know, I understand, Les, that there's always going to be a small portion of people that hate democracy. Now, they don't know that they hate it, but they do, because there are people that wholeheartedly endorse Public Act 4. I'm talking everyday citizens, people that live next door to us, people that buy groceries at the same store we do, and they don't get it. They don't get it. They think, well, it's the union's fault. It's the crooked politician's fault, and if they can't get it right, well, the hell with it. Let's just send somebody in that knows what they're doing to clean up that mess. Well, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. That's not what Public Act 4 does. It doesn't send somebody in to clean up a mess. It sends somebody in to create a larger problem. Look at what's happened in Pontiac with the water department there. They end up hiring a company in Pontiac that literally is involved in federal legislation for taking bribes.
When they put their rules in to take over the schools, you were right, Tony. We had $93 million in the bank, and we had just taxed ourselves $1.5 billion for our future of the generations to come.
And that's exactly why they took over the school system. The state wanted that money.
They gangstered us, Tony. There's no other way to put it. Is they gangstered us. They gangsters, us. And it, because it was African-Americans, it was okay.
Well, you know that, of course, you don't mean that, but you're right. It was not okay. It's still not okay. And that's why, you know, Les, I said yesterday, the people that have not given up on Detroit, the citizens that still live there, I don't live there, all right? You know that. I don't live there. But you know how much respect I have for the city. You know how much respect I have for the people that live there, Les. And
you're talking about me and my family, Tony, when you said that yesterday. I heard you. I was very proud. Hey, I'm a proud Detroiter. I could have moved anywhere in America, but I stayed here because I love Detroit. The people here, generally, they love, you know, when you get to know us. We're not bad people. We got a couple of bad apples, but every community have a couple of bad apples.
There, no question that's true. Maybe more than a couple. So, yeah, no, Les, you make a great point. I you're right. People don't know you. And people, see, that's the problem, Les, is they still judge you by the color of your skin.
And see, and I don't judge Europeans by the color of their skin. I judge people by the content of their character. Because Martin Luther King said that. But my mother taught me how to judge people by their character. So how can I not just automatically hate you? Because I was brought up not to automatically hate you. I wanted to get to know you before I decide I don't like you.
Thank you. As I always say, I like everybody, and then I make them earn it. But I like them. But I make them earn it. My father taught me. I was a little kid. My dad owned a grocery store in downtown Detroit when I was a little kid. All right? My dad owned a grocery store in downtown Detroit during the riots. The neighbors in that neighborhood protected his store. Every store around them got looted. They didn't touch my father's grocery store. Didn't touch it. And my father taught me when I was a child, Les, that you will learn more about a person not by what they say, but by what they do. So be a good look. Make sure you watch, not just listen. Make sure you watch, son. And if you watch people, you'll learn more about what they do than what they say. And he couldn't have been more right. And that advice has served me well for a lot of years.
I appreciate you, Tony. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. God bless you. I just love it when Les calls. Good morning, fellow patriots. He is a true patriot. No question about that. I despise, you know, it's interesting because when you talk about racism, which is nothing but hate, and then if you turn around and say, I hate racism, I hate racists, well, are you kind of perpetuating, you know, your own hate? I mean, is there a difference? You know, I try to find a peace with this idea. I don't like racism. I don't. I find it beyond unpalatable. I also know that we live in a society where, and we're going to get into this some next week. I assure you, we've got a story coming up next week that's going to really kind of turn you back a little bit. But I only discovered this late in the day yesterday, so we're going to bring it to you next week. Anyway, my point is, we still live in a very dynamic society, and sometimes people are jealous. Sometimes people fear what they don't know. Les just said it perfectly. Get to know me and then judge me. I know that everyone doesn't like me. I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that. But, you know, it's so fascinating. Would I be more hated if I were a black man? Just asking the question. How many of you can look into your heart and say, I don't judge? Well, I don't care what color your skin is, we all judge. And until we can find a safe place in our minds and in our hearts where we can literally look at society as a community and decide that working together, no matter who we are, forget color skin, no matter who we are, no matter how much money we make. You know, folks, there are people that live in the city of Detroit because they can't get out. They can't. They can't. They can't move. But there are a whole lot more people that live in the city of Detroit because it is their home. When are we going to celebrate that? All right, we need to take a quick break here for the top of the hour. We've got a great hour in the next hour, so you're going to want to stay tune for that. John Cribbion, the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association, and Carrie Ebersole with Proposal 4. So lots of good stuff coming. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. We got NBC News coming up. This Friday program is going to fly by. Stay with us. Thanks for punching in.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Taking a look at your commute, we have slow-moving traffic, I-96 eastbound between Old Plank and Beck Road, also I-75 southbound between 14 Mile and 12 Mile Road, and heavy traffic moving along I-696 westbound between 11 Mile Road and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Martin Eckert. President Obama is sticking close to home in the D.C. area today and focusing on fundraising for his campaign. NBC's Tracy Potts says Republican candidate Mitt Romney will be in Pennsylvania as he seeks to slow the president's apparent momentum.
Polls show a tight race in Nevada and North Carolina. Romney's only 2 points behind President Obama there, but 7 points behind in New Hampshire.
A workplace shooting in downtown Minneapolis at the sign company has left 5 people dead, including the shooter. The gunman, who had been fired from the company earlier in the day, apparently killed himself at the scene. The NFL's regular referees are again maintaining order. Regular refs called last night's game between the Baltimore Ravens and Cleveland Browns after working out a new labor agreement with the league. The Ravens managed to hold off the Browns 23-16 at that game in Baltimore, Maryland. This is NBC News Radio. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is challenging the international community to establish a clear red line on Iran's nuclear ambitions. Netanyahu told the United Nations that Iran will have enough enriched uranium for a nuclear weapon by next summer. NBC's Danielle Lee.
Netanyahu delivered Iran a new ultimatum against its controversial nuclear program. But so far, diplomatic efforts to stop Iran, who calls its program peaceful, have been unsuccessful.
Salt Lake City police have shot a man on a downtown public transit platform after he threatened to detonate a bomb he claimed he had in his backpack. The filmmaker behind the controversial anti-Islam film is in jail in Southern California today. Nikula Basile Nikula was arrested yesterday for allegedly violating the terms of his probation for a 2010 check fraud conviction. Scientists call it exciting that the NASA rover Curiosity has been beaming back pictures of bedrock on Mars, suggesting a stream was once there. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
My dad's Mercedes Z-Class has 26,000 miles on it, but I'm taking it to a billion zillion.
Of all the things you hand down to your children, very few will be of the quality of a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Because a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is 100% through and through a Mercedes-Benz. And right now, during our certified pre-owned sales event, you can get exceptional 1.99% financing on select models. Every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high. Plus, a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio.
Thanks in advance, Dad.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned sales event now through October 1st. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-4-Mercedes for complete program, including certified pre-owned limited warranty and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations. Not all customers are qualified for advertised APR and are subject to prior credit approval.
When the economy first went south 4 years ago, people looking for work, or better work, headed back to school. But the Council of Graduate Schools is reporting that the big jumps in grad school enrollments witnessed in 2008 and 2009 fell back in 2010, and according massive U.S. retailer smelling opportunity. Walmart is expanding in Japan for the first time in 4 years as the ranks of that nation's working poor and retirees on fixed incomes grow. Japan's main stock index, the Nikkei, fell almost 1% today. European markets are higher. S&P futures, not so much, losing 3 points. NASDAQ futures down 5. Dow futures down 36 on this. the final day of the week, the month, and the quarter. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade. I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-264-0212 and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-264-0212. That's 800-264-0212.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where agents digest knowledge like billy goats, and this is a pop quiz. How do you cover a motorcycle that costs more to paint than to buy? The answer? Optional equipment coverage. And if you work with a farmer's agent, they can make sure your bike's got coverage for everything from saddlebags to sidecars. Giddy up.
If you want answers about motorcycle insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, da, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
how can I help you?
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
that's not in our policy, sir.
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
your business is extremely important to us.
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member.
It's the same each time with progress. First, they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome indeed, and you are always welcome here where we do tell the truths. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, maybe it takes a little longer to get to the truth, and we're going to explore that in this hour. In fact, the whole hour is going to be nothing but truth. It is Friday, the 28th day of October, September 2012, just a couple ticks away from October already. We can certainly feel it in the air. The winds of change are blowing, and most of us, although we're thinking about November 6th, not everybody is. Some people are thinking about November of 2013. And as we learned on yesterday's program, when we had the campaign chair on for the Mike Duggan for Detroit Mayor campaign, well, sometimes even when you ask a direct question, you might not get the truthful answer. Well, we found that out because people were listening. And what people heard is not what happened. I turn my attention now to my friend John Caribbean. John is the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. And John, first of all, let me welcome you back to First Shift, and I appreciate you taking some time to set the record straight this morning.
Thanks, Tony. We always appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and the work that you do. I appreciate a chance to talk about this issue, and one of those people that was listening yesterday was me, and I was surprised to hear the comments that Conrad Mallett made yesterday regarding the organizing campaign that happened at the Detroit Medical Center just several years ago, 2007, 2008, in that time frame.
Well, you know, John, before you go on, let me just remind my audience, I had asked a very direct question. Is Mike Duggan a union buster? That was the exact question I asked him, and I had told him in advance that that would be one of the questions, because when he announced yesterday, a lot of people, John, reached out, or the day before, a lot of people reached out to me and said, Tony, do you know how anti-union this guy is? Well, I asked the question. You heard the answer, and he said, absolutely not.
Right. I think that's a revisionist attempt at history to suggest that he wasn't a union buster specifically in that campaign. And I don't know what to make of Mallett's comments or whether he purposely lied or frankly their comments were false. The bottom line is they're inaccurate. They're not true. You could just go right down the list of the comments he made, and every single one of them was distorted at best. And starting with the idea that some outside union from California, some outsiders went to nurses to start a campaign. Frankly, those nurses at Detroit Medical Center came to us. And by us, I mean the Michigan Nurse Association, and came to us and said, we have a lot of problems in our workplace. We have no voice in decisions that affect the care of our patients. We're short on equipment, on supplies, and we don't feel like we can make a difference in our workplace. And we wanna explore with you the opportunity to have a union in our workplace. And from that day forward, Mike Duggan and that team, administrative team of his, worked very hard to have a campaign that was built on harassing workers and intimidating them from exercising their rights to form a union.
Well, John, let me ask you a question there, because Conrad Mallett Jr. said yesterday on this show that the Detroit Medical Center was, quote-unquote, not resistant to the DMC nurses' efforts to organize. You're saying that is, again, a patent lie.
Yeah, I absolutely think it is. It's a whole they worked throughout that campaign. They held one-on-one group meetings against nurses. They questioned nurses regarding their union support. They did surveillance on nurses. They disciplined nurses. They bombarded nurses with misinformation from their supervisors and hospital vice presidents and Mike Duggan himself. And we asked right from the start that we asked the employer to allow nurses to choose freely without intimidation. On the issue of union representation, we asked them to respect the rights of nurses to organize. We asked them to stop using public funds to fight union organizing efforts. And these things never happened. And throughout the campaign, there was just a complete, let's say it differently. Let's say that Mike Duggan did everything he could and used every trick in the book to try to stop nurses from organizing. It's as simple as that. We at that time we filed unfair labor practice charges. Before the board issued a complaint, there was a settlement. I think if you go on our website at minurses.org, you'll see a lot of that material that we put up there under minurses.org, the truth about Duggan. You can go on there and actually get the documents, the NLRB documents, and some of the material from the campaign that was put out by Duggan.
Well, and I want to let the audience know, we actually posted that link to the Michigan Nurses Association website last night. So if people want to go just to the Facebook page, click through, they can do that. But, you know, John, I thought it was interesting as I was speaking with your folks yesterday, and Dawn Kettinger, your communications director, she told me that you folks took this very seriously at the Michigan Nurses Association. You went out and dug up some boxes. You brought them upstairs. You started going through. You wanted to make sure that not only did you all remember everything correctly, but that you could document it. So nobody's going to come back to you and say, no, you're the ones that has revisionist history here.
Right. You know, it's important. You know, these nurses worked very hard to try to organize at that facility, and for Duggan to just try to make a mockery out of it and use that, his quote record, to somehow suggest that he was, very supportive of labor is just a flat out, inaccuracy. And I would say, it's a lie. He did nothing to support those nurses' efforts. In fact, he did everything he could to fight against those nurses. And this whole idea that there was, no union support or no inter-union cooperation, that, between unions at DMC and M&A and so on. I can tell you we had such tremendous support in the Detroit community for our campaign. First with the union community, with the UAW and the steelworkers and AFG and SEIU. I mean, I could continue to name AFT and CWA, utility workers. But even in the community, we had 33, 35, something like that, religious leaders that signed onto a petition asking him to negotiate an election agreement with us. We had other organizations like Healthcare Now and the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO and the Jobs with Justice and ACORN and of Interfaith Workers Committee. These are all groups that supported our efforts and were out there with us on a regular basis trying to work with us to get nurses the rights that they frankly deserve to have a voice in the workplace.
As everybody does, which is why, John, we have all been working so hard to get Proposal 2 passed. That's all why we've been working so hard, especially partnering with you, to let people know what's happening in the 1st Congressional District with Dr. Beneshek and how heinous his behavior has been, towards his constituents, especially the seniors in his community. But, you know, John, before I get to the big question, which is that the employees turned the union down, and we're going to get to that after the break, I do want to say this. And the reason I had originally asked the question wasn't just because people had reached out to me and said, hey, you know, Duggan's anti-union, he's a unibuster. But the biggest reason I did it is right now in the city of Detroit, unions are being vilified. Unions are being sacrificed. There are men and women that have a union logo on their uniform, and they are actually eligible to qualify for food stamps because of what this mayor, Dave Bing, has done to the union base in this beautiful city of Detroit. I think it's important that the next mayor be pro-union.
Yes, absolutely. We agree. And not only pro-union, but pro-worker. And, you know, we have a big job ahead of us in the city of Detroit to turn that city around. And there's no question that Dave Bing, in my opinion, has not been good for the city of Detroit. And I think that my experience with Mike Duggan and the things I hear from others is that as long as you're doing what he'd like you to do, then everything works very well. But he doesn't like anybody that challenges him. And these nurses at DMC, the 1,800 nurses there, challenged him. And he worked very hard to keep them from having a voice in the workplace. And we don't need that in the city of Detroit. And we don't need it in the hospitals that we have in the city as well.
No question. John Cribbion, again, my guest, the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. Let me just remind everybody, the Michigan Nurses Association represents 11,000 registered nurses statewide. And as part of a national organization, represents hundreds of thousands more nurses. They care about one thing, and they care about one thing, and that's patient care at the end of the day. And as many of you know, have ever been in the hospital, have ever been in a doctor's office, have ever been in a lab, your first and sometimes only touch is by a nurse. Don't you think they should have a voice in the process? I would. All right, let's take a quick break here. John, stay where you're at. We're going to come back. We're going to answer the question, did the nurses turn down the union? John has something to say about that as well. This is First Shift. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Mitt Romney's released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your commute, we have slow-moving traffic, I-96 eastbound between Old Plank and Beck Road. Also, I-75 southbound between 14 Mile and 12 Mile Road. And heavy traffic moving along I-696 westbound between 11 Mile Road and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your Total Traffic Update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest, John Caribbean, he is the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. If you're just joining us, yesterday on the show, Conrad Mallett Jr., who is the campaign chairman for the Mike Duggan for Detroit Mayor campaign, when asked the question, is Mike Duggan a union buster, he definitively said no. Gave a variety of responses as to why he wasn't, only to have the community, and I should say the organized labor community and others, come out in full support for wanting to right some wrongs, as John Caribbean has been doing. John, as we went to break, I received an email from a nurse at the Detroit Medical Center who said she only became aware of the show yesterday. But she said this, and of course I promised her anonymity, so we'll leave it that way. But she said this, please tell John, when they're ready, we're still ready.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I don't know what that necessarily means.
To unionize.
Then we'll put a call in to Mike and have a discussion with them about that. That wouldn't go to the issue, however, of how a the employer conducts a campaign. I don't know what that means, that they're ready. If that means that that he's had a change of thinking around the idea.
No, John. This nurse said, when you guys are ready, they're ready. Not the DMC, the nurses.
I think that there's actually we know that, and we've actually talked to some nurses, and we know that there continues to be an interest there to organize, and we'll continue to work with those nurses in trying to exercise their right to organize. We get calls from them. We've been meeting with them. So it's inspiring to have a nurse that's listening to your show and recognizes that we haven't gone away, and we're not planning on going away. The hospital, those nurses in that hospital are important to us. We continue to have a relationship with them, and we'll continue to work with them.
You know, John, let me ask the big question, because one of the things that Conrad Mallett Jr. said yesterday on this very program was that the employees turned down the union. Did they indeed turn the union down?
Well, I don't know what that means, turn the union down. There was never an election there, so I don't know how they could have turned the union down. The nurses chose not to go to an election, and there was, at every step of the way, the employer threw roadblocks at our ability to get to an election. We filed a petition to represent the nurses at Harper Hutzel Hospital at the time, and there was roughly 800 nurses there. The employer insisted during NLRB hearings that the only way that they would agree to an election short of going through a full-blown hearing and appeals was if we agreed to organize all 2,000 registered nurses at the same time and not organize the hospital that we had petitioned for. When we tried to work out that issue, the employer said, well, okay, the charge nurses are all supervisors, and we're going to litigate that issue. And again, that would have put us into a situation where there was appeal after appeal. When we tried to get close to working that out, and they said, okay, we're going to add 200 managers to the bargaining unit that you're going to have to also organize as part of the unit if you want to have a unit. At every step, they threw roadblocks in our way. And if they were sincere about organizing, they would have let the nurses make a choice about who they wanted to be represented by and which nurses wanted to have representation. That system, every one of those hospitals has unions in them separately to insist on things that went beyond the scope of what's required under the National Labor Relations Act was not, in our opinion, any attempt to really work with us to get those nurses a voice.
Well, John Cribbion, as I think you're well aware, for almost 2 years, I was intimately involved in the nurses' strike at Northern Michigan Hospital up in Petoskey. And although ultimately that did not go the way I had hoped it would, we certainly raised awareness. We certainly got community support. But there is one thing I learned in that process. Money always wins. Hospitals have lots of it, especially if you're using taxpayer dollars, which, of course, you are claiming that the Detroit Medical Center did to beat down union organization. Isn't that illegal, John?
Yeah, well, we thought so, but and there was hearings held. Fred Noll from the Health Policy Committee, Colvin Young the third, they held hearings on this issue and raised the issue. And I think that just as you feel that was wrong, many people felt that was wrong, and many organizations stood up and said to Duggan specifically and directly to him that's wrong. You shouldn't be using public dollars to fight union campaigns. But fortunately, those are the types of things that our state's allowed to happen. And another example that union workers that we have attempts in this state to really stifle the voice of union workers. And we all know that collective bargaining, the difference it makes to keep our schools safe and our streets and of course our hospitals and the difference it makes for nurses in the way that they can deliver care to their patients.
You know, let me, John Cribbian, ask you this question. You're the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. You spent a lot of time with the legislature in Lansing. You certainly have members all over the state of Michigan. Do you think Mike Duggan is the answer to what ails Detroit?
No, I don't think he's the answer. But I think that's for people to ultimately look at his complete record and make that decision. You know, for us, we would say to Mike and Duggan directly is look, don't try to kid the voters. People deserve the truth, and the comments that were made yesterday are simply not the truth. He is not a supporter. In our view, he's not a supporter of labor. He was not a supporter of those nurses and their right to organize. And if you heard Conrad Mallett yesterday, he made it very clear that that he didn't think every worker had a right to have a union. He said that very specifically at the DMC. He said that there were skilled workers that he didn't think were best represented in a union. And I think those nurses would disagree with that. Of course, he doesn't want nurses to have a voice because he knows and how powerful of the nurse's voice can be. And frankly, they like the way it is, where they make the decisions and everybody has to abide by them. And at the end of the day, it denies nurses the ability to advocate for their patients in an effective way.
Absolutely. Well, John, I want to thank you for your time this morning. We are just out of time for now, but this is not a story that's going to go away quickly, and we're going to continue to report the truth. John, I can't thank you enough for your time.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate it very much.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you again soon. John Cribbian, again, the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. Proposal 4 when we continue. Home health care, does it need constitutional protection? We'll get to that question and more right here on 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your commute, we have slow-moving traffic, I-96 eastbound between Old Plank and Beck Road, also I-75 southbound between 14 Mile and 12 Mile Road, and heavy traffic moving along I-696 westbound between 11 Mile Road and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. NFL union refs are back in the game after reaching a tentative 8-year labor agreement with the NFL. Refs were scheduled to vote on ratification of the agreement Friday. The refs keep their regular pensions until 2017 when they'll be switched over to 401k plans. The NFL Referees Association says it's pleased to be back to work after having been locked out by the NFL in June. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says that the football season can now get back on track. Trumka says the awful scab ref call in the Green Bay-Seattle game underscores that no one does their job better than workers who have union training and a voice on the job. Trumka says Crystal Sugar workers have been locked out for more than a year and don't have the national stage the refs do, but he says it's the same corporate greed behind it. So Trumka says for NFL fans and workers everywhere fighting for a voice on the job, it's game on. The Canadian Auto Workers and Chrysler Group's tentative labor contract agreement completes the Detroit 3 trifecta for the union.
Ratification votes are underway for Canada's GM and Ford workers. Terms are similar for all three companies, as the CAW pursued pattern bargaining with the three U.S.-based auto companies. The CAW says Chrysler workers in Canada will get cost-of-living increases plus $9,000 in bonuses over the course of the four-year agreement. CAW President Ken Luenza says union leadership is satisfied that they reached a reasonable deal with Chrysler. Students and workers stood together Thursday in a California demonstration to fight for fair and dignified working conditions for University of California campus workers. The rally also supported universal access to higher public education for students. Central to Thursday's rally was the plight of five custodial workers at UC Berkeley who were laid off, then denied the right to transfer to open custodial positions in other university departments. AFSCME Local 3299, which represents 20,000 UC service and patient care workers, is uniting with students to fight for campus worker rights and to resist privatization of the University of California. More seasonal hiring has been announced, this time by Toys R Us. Jesse Russell reports.
Toys R Us is the most recent retail chain to announce more robust hiring for the holiday season. The company announced this week it would hire 13% more seasonal workers. Walmart and Kohl's have also said they'll be hiring more employees than last year. Economists watch seasonal hiring as an indicator of economic expectations as the year comes to a close, and also consumer confidence. Seasonal positions can, on occasion, lead to full-time employment. Last year, an estimated 15% of seasonal workers became full-time employees after the holiday season was over.
This newscast made possible in part thanks to underwriting from the OPEIU, Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First shift on 1310 WDTW. Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 7:35, and again, I told you this whole hour is about truth. We're about to get to some more of it. Let me first introduce my guest, and then we'll get into a very thorough discussion of Proposal 4 as we continue our ongoing series to educate you as to the reality of all six of the proposals that are on the ballot this November 6th. Joining us now is Carrie Ebersole. Carrie is a principal of Persuasion Link. She is also the campaign manager for Support Proposal 4. She began her career over a decade ago in Michigan's competitive political and legislative arena, a graduate of Michigan State University with a degree in political theory and constitutional democracy. She is considered one of the top consultants in the country as it comes to anything to do with grassroots activism, non-profit organization, and I will tell you at the end of the day, she has a strong voice and advocates for those things that make our society better. We welcome Carrie Ebersole to First Shift this morning. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. Let's you know, get some fundamental information out of the way, because we start talking about proposals by numbers, and that's not fair to the audience, because let's be honest about it. Not everybody knows that Proposal 1 is this, Proposal 2 is that. So what is Proposal 4?
Well, Proposal 4 will keep home care a safe choice. Proposal 4 will establish the Michigan Quality Home Care Council. This council would oversee a registry that links home care recipients to pre-screened home care providers in their area. It requires home care providers on the registry to undergo strict background checks to ensure safety of home care recipients. It also gives home care providers access to critical job training so they can better care for seniors and persons with disabilities. And it's all this, and it actually saves taxpayer dollars by avoiding nursing home and other institutional care by allowing folks to have this opportunity to stay healthy and independent in their own home.
You know, I think, Carrie, that is probably the most interesting bullet point on this, is that it's much cheaper. I don't think people realize this. It's much cheaper to have home health care than it is to send somebody to a home.
Well, actually, there's been several studies that recognize the benefits of home care. And again, the benefits are very broad in terms of, again, health and independency of folks staying in their own home. But the Anderson Economic Group actually recognized that it saves approximately $47,000 per consumer if they elect home care over going into an institutional setting.
That's a lot of groceries.
It is. It is. And that's actually a perfect point that when folks stay in their own home, they're still in their community. They're still attending the small businesses and working with their home care provider to get those core services they need to be able to stay home and healthy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here, because when I talk to people about this, and I think, as you know, I do a lot of traveling, I do a lot of public speaking, and you know, we do the Q&A thing, and a lot of people ask me, and on this one they'll say, you know, Tony, this is really more of a legislative issue, not really a constitutional issue, and I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but here's what I tell people, because it happens to be the honest to God's truth. We just have a legislature that doesn't seem to want to protect people that need protection. And what this really does, at the end of the day, it makes sure that the people that we love the most are cared for the best.
Yes. Those are all important points. I have to recognize our coalition. We have an incredible coalition that has been working on this issue front for over a decade. And that is the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition, the ARC of Michigan, the MS Society, the Area Agency on Aging. The list goes on, and I encourage people to go to our website, keephomecaresafe.org, to see a full list of our coalition partners. But, you know, these folks truly believe it's a right. This rights belong in the Constitution, and it should be a right to be able to direct your own care. And it just boils down to that simple point. And allowing folks the opportunity for that, I think, is just critical. As you pointed out, to our loved ones and our most vulnerable, to have the opportunity to live how they choose.
Well, we've been promoting this for a few days now, I've had quite a few emails from people giving me their testimonials with regard to home health care. AIDS and workers in their intimate lives, whether it's helping mom and dad, whether it's helping them, whatever. But I've had quite a few emails for people, you know, begging me to make sure I talk more about Proposal 4, how important Proposal 4 is, why we've got to keep, you know, mom and dad safe. You know, and I got this one beautiful email. And, Carrie, when I get back to my office, I'll send it to you. This woman talks about her home health care worker as if she's her daughter, that she couldn't live her life literally without this woman, how much she loves her and takes care of her and is tender and gentle and makes phone calls for her and goes to the pharmacy. She just went on and does so much more above and beyond what she's supposed to do. And it couldn't be a more beautiful testimonial to that industry.
Yes, Tony, and I've run into stories like that around the state, and this is truly a trusting relationship. And you know, some consumers need help getting out of bed, getting dressed, bathed. These home care workers can help administer medicine, to help with things around the home. You know, whether help them go grocery shopping or take a walk with them, etc. This is a very, very caring and trusting relationship, and it's just so important. And these stories have been overwhelming. The folks that I've met, both on the consumer side and on the home care provider side, have been amazing.
Well, you know, it was great. She was writing me this email, and she said, of course, you would have no way of knowing this, Tony, but it's taken me 2 hours to type this because her home health care worker's name was Glenda. She said, I didn't want to ask Glenda to type. She usually does my typing for me, but I didn't want her to know I was writing this. So it's taken me 2 hours to do this, and my hands are hurting. I'm going to let you go. Then she writes a P.S. I had to take an hour break because my hands hurt so much, but I wanted to tell you a cute little story. I had to start wearing diapers not long ago, she wrote. And, of course, it requires Glenda to, quote-unquote, clean me from time to time. The first time she did it, she looked me in the eye, smiled, and said, see, you're getting younger. You're in diapers again. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget how special she made me feel.
Yeah. It's, you know, another story that I reflect on that's, you know, it's amazing when you put yourself in someone else's shoes. A consumer who was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy at the age of 4, who unfortunately lost his parents by the time he was 18, and with no family to care for him, He has been fortunate enough to be a home care consumer instead of being forced into some other institution. And what he's chose to do, he's taken classes at community college, you know, he's been able to live the life he's chosen, and he's been fortunate enough to do that with the help with the home care providers.
Yes, and that wouldn't happen any other way. You know, Carrie Ebersole, let me ask you this question. We've seen commercials, of course. We're reading stuff, and it says that it would oversee a registry. What would this registry actually accomplish?
Well, one of the core things that many of our coalition partners have been concerned with is just access. Actually finding home care workers, as we've just referenced, you know, some of this care is hard work, and, you know, for the pay that's received, a lot of times it's hard to find workers and providers that can match up with the consumer. So this registry, first and foremost, it provides background checks for anyone that wants to be a part of the registry. And as a consumer, you would contact the registry, and you would be matched with about three workers in your area that you can set up interviews with and find out who you're most compatible with. So it's both about access and safety. This is really, really core, because this is why we've seen an outpouring of support from law enforcement around the state as well, because they too have seen both our most vulnerable neighbors and friends being taken advantage of, whether by stealing or, you know, and the worst-case scenarios, abuse. This is why it's great to have these criminal background checks for workers on the registry that can then be matched with consumers, you know, really, really making a terrific combination and benefit to our community.
Well, you know, this seems to be one of those no-brainer questions. You said something a little earlier that we certainly need to underscore here, and that these things should be rights. And for those that need this care, you know, and Carrie Ebersole, there's a difference between those who want it and those who need it. For those who need it, wouldn't it be comforting to know that under the law, under the Constitution, that both sides have rights? This isn't just about, you know, the people that need the care. It's also about the people that are providing the care.
Absolutely. And I think that that's why we've seen such, again, an outpouring support, not only in formal endorsements from veterans organizations. Just a couple of weeks ago, the Paralyzed Vets of Michigan endorsed us. Faith groups around the state, but also if you look at, since we've launched our Facebook page and social media efforts, you know, we have nearly 20,000 supporters out there, because to your point, Tony, people get it, they understand it, and it's really, really important to our community as a whole.
No, there's no question that's true. I just, because of the personal experience that I have had, my brother, who passed away some years ago, had a home health worker that was with him for 3 years. And then he had one before that was with him for 2 years. And I know what a positive experience that was, because they're not just taking care of your family member. They're also communicating with you. They spend more time with that person than you do. They know what their wants, their needs, their likes are. I can't tell you how many times I called both of those home health workers and said, what should I get my brother for his birthday? Because they both knew better than I did.
Yeah.
Maybe that says something about me. We got to take a break. Carrie, stay with us. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that.
Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Recently on First Shift,
Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO.
The corporate special interests and these Lansing politicians that they fund have worked very hard to keep people from getting to vote. They were unsuccessful. We know that Governor Snyder filed a brief in support of Schutte's opinion. It is interesting that no Michigan governor or attorney general has ever taken such drastic action to prevent citizens from exercising their right to vote.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday morning, my guest is Carrie Ebersole. She is the campaign director for Proposal 4, which is just to keep home care a safe choice. Their website, again, is keephomecaresafe.org, keephomecaresafe.org. It is up on the Facebook page, so go click through and check it all out. As everything we do here, Carrie, it's about choice, and we want to educate people and give them the opportunity to kick the tires a little bit. And I was telling you before the break my own personal experience with my brother and his home care worker. The last one that he had actually called me one day and said, you know, I'm starting to see some behaviors that are concerning me, and we're building a pattern here. I think we need to get him into the doctor. So we did, and sure enough, he had had a stroke, a very mild stroke. It's called a TIA. I know you know what that is, Carrie. But it was indicative of some health conditions that unfortunately presented themselves as his disease progressed. But without her training, we would have never known this. So let's talk a little bit about training. I'm not at all suggesting that home care workers are not trained, but listen, we can all use ongoing education.
Yep, no, and that's another wonderful thing the council would provide, and that is access to additional training across the board, whether that's just first aid, CPR, wound care, abuse prevention. You know, the list goes on, and I think that's so critical to not only professional development and care for our loved ones, but I think overall it's just really a core benefit of the establishing this council.
Well, and let's also be mindful, home care workers, some of them have very strenuous jobs. Some of them are caring for people that literally can't lift their head off a pillow, while others are helping people try to become independent again. They may be there very temporarily, and everything in between, it runs the entire gamut of care. I mean, the entire gamut of care. And so as we take a look at that, Carrie Ebersole, we really kind of do need to ask ourselves this question. Should people not be able to heal with some kind of dignity, or I hate to say this, but pass with some kind of dignity? I mean, isn't that only fair to those that we care for, no matter what their age?
Yes, absolutely. We hear that from coalition partners all the time that, again, you know, this is why they see it as a right. It's a right to direct their own care and live the life as they choose. And I think it's just so, so important, you know, whether people are getting up in age or with faced with other challenges, you know, they have a choice. They have a choice, and they should be able to live their life how they choose.
Yes, they absolutely should. So, again, we're going to ask, I'm going to ask people to vote yes on four. Now, I'll say it again. Just because I'm doing it doesn't mean you should do it. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. But this is just one of those, to me, goes in the no-brainer category. It provides a safer environment for the people we love. It provides a better environment for the people that are doing this job. It provides dignity for both sides, both the worker and the patient, and the person that is receiving the care. Folks, what about this would you find unpalatable? And, Carrie, I don't know what the negatives are on this. I'm not seeing them anywhere. We're seeing them in a lot of places, but I'm just not seeing negatives on the proposal four.
Well, again, I think that that's why we've seen such a broad support from our coalition, you know, from law enforcement to veterans to faith to health and community advocates, disability rights advocates, senior advocates. I think that we hear across the state, well, wait a second, this seems like a no-brainer. And I think that while it is, it's just so critical. It's so critical because this has been a long-term fight. This is about long-term care. This is about protecting the ones we love most, and keeping them into a safe environment where they can choose to direct their own care. The list goes on. I couldn't have done a better summary than you just did, Tony. But this is why we're just so proud. I'm proud. I'm personally very proud and humbled to be able to work with this type of coalition.
You know, I was going to ask you that, Carrie. You've worked with such a diverse group of people, and you've worked on such a fantastic array of issues over the years. This one has to be kind of, I don't know, emotional in a way.
It's incredibly emotional, and, you know, especially when folks like Don Hoyle, who's been in this advocacy community, in the disability rights community for over 40 years, he's the executive director of ARC Michigan, and, you know, I learn from him every day and the stories that he shares and the passion that he goes about his work. You know, it's really amazing. And very humbling, you know, this community and what they fight for every day. And, you know, again, you mentioned this earlier in this segment. You know, unfortunately, we're in this place because, you know, the politicians in Lansing chose to defund this program. And, you know, we wouldn't be here today if they, you know, had the right priorities in Lansing.
Well, priorities is a great word there, Carrie Ebersole. And I have to tell you that at some level, and this should be such a nonpartisan issue, so let's be clear about that. You know, this kind of, I kind of liken this to education or anything else that is a right in society. We have to make sure that I understand, you know, why they're, I don't agree. I understand their philosophy about tax breaks, and I understand shifting the tax burden. I don't agree with it, but I understand why they did it. But when it comes to something like defunding education or taking or defunding, you know, available dollars to take care of our most needy citizens, to me that just seems cruel and unfair. And everything can't just be about dollars and cents. Sometimes it's about common sense. There's nothing common sense about defunding programs like this.
No, there isn't. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we could probably have a very long discussion on the political discourse in our country and our state. But, you know, this is an example of an issue area that, you know, there's just no common sense behind defunding a council that is not only saves taxpayer money, it keeps our loved ones safe and provides them a choice in how they're can live.
All right, well, a couple things quickly before we have to let you go. Number one, I do want to revisit the cost issue because I can't underscore enough how stunned I was when I read through the report that you sent me. Again, these are independent, nonpartisan reports that say it's actually cheaper and people actually get better quicker if they stay in their own home and have home health care. You had used the $47,000 a year per consumer. That's just a ton of money.
Yes, yes. And that's just one study, as you mentioned. That's the Anderson Economic Group, an independent study that was provided there. But AARP has issued a study on long-term care. It's a white paper, actually. And then we also have a third study published on our website, the Genworth Financial Cost of Care Survey. All of these highlight, again, there's a cost component of savings, but it's better, you know, for individuals to stay healthy and, you know,
absolutely,
it's better for them overall.
We're out of time. Listen, folks, here it is again. KeepHomeCareSafe.org. Carrie Ebersole, thanks so much for being with us. We'll chat again.
Thank you, Tony.
You bet. Let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Truth and Dare when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your commute, we have slow-moving traffic, I-96 eastbound between Old Plank and Beck Road. Also, I-75 southbound between 14 Mile and 12 Mile Road. And heavy traffic moving along I-696 westbound between 11 Mile Road and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Ship Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Ship with Tony Trippiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House. A deadly workplace shooting in Minnesota is being condemned as senseless violence by Governor Mark Dayton. A gunman opened fire at a Minneapolis business, killing four people and wounding four others before taking his own life. NBC's Kevin Tibbles is in Minneapolis.
Witnesses say the alleged 36-year-old shooter may have been fired from his job here at the Accent Sign Company yesterday morning. It turned an afternoon very tragic when he opened fire on fellow employees.
The filmmaker behind a controversial anti-Islam film is being held without bail in California. Nakula Basli Nakula was arrested yesterday for allegedly violating the terms of his probation for a 2010 check fraud conviction. National Football League games are back in the hands of the regular referees. They were on the field for the first time this season for last night's game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, one night after agreeing to a new labor deal. The Ravens held off the Browns 23-16. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama and GOP White House rival Mitt Romney continue to target key battleground states. NBC's Peter Alexander says Romney will be in Pennsylvania today. The president is sticking close to the D.C. area.
This weekend, they will head their own direction as they prepare for that critical first-in-the-country presidential debate next Wednesday.
Authorities investigating a tip about missing Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa will be at a home in Roseville, Michigan today. Police don't believe an anomaly found underneath the home's driveway with radar is linked to Hoffa, but a soil sample will be taken and analyzed. Hoffa disappeared from a Bloomfield Township restaurant in 1975. United Airlines is getting ready for the first commercial flight of its 787 Dreamliner. The flight will be on November 4th from Houston to Chicago. United is the first airline in North America to take delivery of the Boeing jet, which is made mostly from lightweight composites. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10/1/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Meet Sam's Club member Maritza Guerrero.
The family's busy and fall is in full swing. I'm juggling all kinds of things right now. That's why I like to have everything we need close at hand.
Join Sam's Club and convenience is always an easy reach with more savings on trusted brand name basics like Tide and Huggies, all for less than you thought possible. Sign up by October 7th and save even more with a gift card worth up to $40.
We can all use a helping hand. Sam's Club is mine.
Life is better when you're in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save. See club for details.
In the coming hour, we get the final word on consumer behavior for August when the government releases its measure of consumer spending. Our spending is expected to be up 0.5% for last month, although much of that can be explained away by the higher gasoline prices we endured. Later this morning, the final September reading of consumer sentiment from Reuters and the University of Michigan. Analysts had been predicting a drop in that measure, but some now predict the news could be better. This time next month, people in India, where chai is super popular, will be able to drink their chai at Starbucks. The company will open its very first coffee house in the country of more than a billion people. It'll be in Mumbai. Foreign companies operating in India are required to partner with a domestic company to do business, so the venture will be called Tata Starbucks. Ahead of the final trading day on Wall Street for the week, the month, and the third quarter 2012, S&P futures are down 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade. I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-264-0212 and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-264-0212. That's 800-264-0212.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where agents digest knowledge like billy goats, and this is a pop quiz. How do you cover a motorcycle that costs more to paint than to buy? The answer? Optional equipment coverage. And if you work with a Farmers agent, they can make sure your bike's got coverage for everything from saddlebags to sidecars. Giddy up.
If you want answers about motorcycle insurance, you want a Farmer's agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
how can I help you?
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
that's not in our policy, sir.
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
your business is extremely important to us.
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, September 28th, 2012. A pleasure to be with you. Well, as we just got done speaking with Carrie Ebersole with the Proposal 4 campaign, and as we will in a half an hour talk with Dan Stamper from the Ambassador Bridge Company about Proposal 6, we now have to start asking ourselves simple questions. As we all see in print and in on the Internet and on television, this side saying this, this side saying that. Well, one of the proposals that I'm fond of is Proposal 3. But we know on both sides of the issue, there's a lot of quote-unquote facts being bandied about. Well, who do you believe? And are they all telling the truth? chances are you can probably take a guess at that and be right. But how right or how wrong are they, and does it matter? Well, it should to you, and we thought we'd do a little exploration in this half hour. Joining us now is Rick Hagelin. Rick spent 24 years as a statewide business writer with Booth Newspapers. He left in 2009 and began a freelance writing career that continues to thrive. He writes a weekly column for MLive Media Group, and he is also a correspondent for the Center for Michigan, which publishes the very popular Bridge magazine. He is also doing work with the Truth Squad. He began as a Truth Squad referee, if you will, in the 2010 election cycle and continues that work today. He is here in that capacity, one of the most respected journalists in the state of Michigan. Rick Hagelin, welcome to First Shift.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, you know, it is an interesting time, Rick, and I'm sure you're keeping plenty busy with all the political ads that are out there. But, you know, we thought we'd focus a little bit on Proposal 3 today because that is polling interestingly close. I think that there has been a lot of misinformation. And as I go to the Michigan Truth Squad website, I find that both sides are maybe bending their words just a little bit too much. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that pretty much describes what's going on here. We reviewed a couple of ads on Proposal 3, one by Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs, which is the coalition that got Proposal 3 on the ballot. And then we also reviewed an ad by Clean, Affordable, Renewable Energy for Michigan Coalition, which is the group funded primarily by state utilities, which is opposed to the Proposal 3 ballot proposal. Proposal 3, as you know, would increase the amount of renewable energy electric providers would have to provide by 25% by the year 2025. Currently, we've got a 10% standard that they have to meet by 2015. We gave the Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs Coalition a technical foul on their ad for something that was a bit misleading. They cite a job study done by Michigan State University that says that that Proposal 3 would result in 94,000 additional jobs. It turns out that wasn't quite true. The economist that did this kind of wrote it in economist speak, and what they said is that it would create about 94,000 what they call job years. In other words, that's the amount of work it takes to employ one person for 1 year. So it doesn't quite translate into 94,000 jobs. On the other group, we also gave them a technical foul for their ad, and the reason for that was they said that this proposal would cost Michigan residents and businesses thousands of dollars in new energy costs, and it was sort of a scare tactic. They didn't really say how much this would cost the average customer, so we gave them a technical foul for that.
Now, when we take a look at this stuff, you know, there's always that fine print after a quote, and nobody ever reads that stuff, right? You know, what it really is the source. And so sometimes we look at the source. I was out of town recently, and I'm watching a political ad, and at the bottom it was a source. And what it actually was, Rick Hagelin, was somebody's Twitter feed. I mean, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, it's a great quote, but anybody that's really paying attention to that, am I really going to listen to some guy's Twitter feed?
That's a good point. We've run into that a number of times. Where you know, organizations in running their ads will cite newspaper stories or some sort of secondary source that really was not the original source of the information, and it makes it misleading.
Well, you know, listen, I think that, you know, those of us that maybe are more politically active are doing a little more homework, and we're digging a little deeper. And, you know, the obfuscation that some of these ads create can be downright confusing to the average voter. And let's just, Rick, be honest about it. Not everybody does this for a living like you and I do. And so when you see a commercial, isn't this more about who can spend the most money and make their side sound more credible?
Well, to some degree, yeah, that's true. And the best example of that is Proposal 6 on the bridge ad, where Matty Maroon, who owns the Ambassador Bridge and is opposed to a new bridge being built, has just flooded the airwaves with deceiving ads. And, you know, what's the old saying is that if you tell a lie long enough, people begin to believe it. So it's a lot distressing, actually.
Well, as you heard me just say in the introduction, I have Dan Stamper on this program in about 15 to 17 minutes. And, you know, certainly he and I had a conversation off the air. He asked me for an opportunity to set the record straight. So we're going to allow him to set the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's listen, I want to give people information, Rick. I want them to have access to it all. I want them to understand what it is they are voting for, voting against. I think that's only fair, and so I'm trying to do a fair and equitable job at that. Some people were screaming at me, how dare you have him on the show? Well, how dare I not?
Well, correct. I mean, he does have a point of view, and he should be heard.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the Michigan Truth Squad. First of all, where can we find them online so people that would like to go and perhaps help themselves make more educated decisions, where will they find you?
They will find us at MichiganTruthSquad.com.
Okay, can't get much easier than that. Well, what was the reason it seems obvious and an obvious question, but what was the reason that the Michigan Truth Squad was originally formed?
Well, as you said in the introduction, it was formed by the Center for Michigan, which is a nonprofit organization that is trying to kind of fulfill a journalism function that we see lacking in the state, particularly with the traditional media, the newspapers that have shrunk staff sizes, and they've pulled away from covering statewide issues at the state capitol. And the center stepped in to kind of try to fill that void with both Bridge Magazine and with the Truth Squad. The Truth Squad was actually, this is the kind of thing that newspapers traditionally did in election seasons, and we've seen less and less of that just simply because they no longer have the resources to follow these things as closely as they should be followed. So the Truth Squad kind of stepped in to try to fill that void.
And we appreciate that. I miss journalism of old, and it wasn't that long ago, but it certainly doesn't exist in that form any longer. And, Rick, I'm assuming you'd agree with me on that.
Well, it you're right. It's changed radically. I mean, it shifted from a news on paper sort of model to a digital model online, and the problem is that the advertising base didn't shift with it, and everybody's trying to figure out ways of making money with this new model, but it's resulted in newspapers laying off lots of reporters and shrinking their staffs and trying to do their job with far less resources.
Well, my youngest son, who is now 19 years old, said to me this summer, Dad, I used to remember you sitting out here on Sunday and taking most of the day to read the paper. Do you just read faster now? I said, no, it's just a whole lot smaller now. and there's some truth to that. I mean, the Sunday sports section, Rick, used to be, a good novel. I mean, you could really get a lot of information. The Sunday op-ed was a must. I mean, it was a must for anybody that cared about information. Yeah, not so much anymore.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, they're not doing a terrible job, but they're trying to keep up. But once again, this is not like building cars or making things where you can replace people with automation and robots and have them do the same job. I mean, good journalism requires lots of people. on the ground, you know, reporting and writing coming up with their opinions.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, I want to thank you for spending some time with us this morning walking through the Proposal 3 stuff. Michigan's truthsquad.com. You can find Bridge Magazine online as well. Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We're going to go open lines for just a short while, so feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trigano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because he's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look out on your roads, we have stop-and-go traffic, U.S. 24 northbound between Franklin and Square Lake Road. Also, slow-moving traffic, I-275 northbound between 6 Mile and 8 Mile Road. And on I-75 northbound, south of I-375, we have an accident blocking the right shoulder near Woodward Ave. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First. Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
Now, welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. We're going to be open lines to the bottom of the hour where Dan Stamper from the Ambassador Bridge Company will join us to try to convince you why you should vote for Proposal 6. Proposal 6 asks a basic question. Should the voters have a right to decide if the bridge should be built? Anyway, we'll get to all of that at the bottom of the hour. Our song of the day is up, has been up for a little while, just haven't had a chance to get to it. It's the Dramatics, What You See Is What You Get. So if you want to go there or comment or click through and listen, well, feel free to do just that. Anyway, as we kind of take a look at what's going on this morning. Early this morning, as I was going through a list of sources that I peruse every morning, I ran into a speech given yesterday by Senator Jim Webb, and he was about to introduce President Obama. For those of you that know Senator Webb, you know that he is a veteran of the United States Navy, served in Vietnam, has been one of the staunch supporters of both our military and democracy. Well, he gave a speech yesterday, and I wanted you to hear some of it. So let's go to Senator Jim Webb.
They're calling these people takers rather than givers. Let me say something about veterans' benefits. I grew up in the military. My dad was a pilot, flew in World War II, the Berlin Airlift. I was a Marine. My brother was a Marine. My son was a Marine. I've worked on veterans' issues all my adult life. Governor Romney and I are right about the same age. Young guys. Like millions in our generation, we came to adulthood facing the harsh realities of the Vietnam War. 2.7 million in our age group went to Vietnam, a war which eventually took the lives of 58,000 young Americans and cost another 300,000 wounded. The Marine Corps lost 100,000 killed or wounded in that war. During the year that I was in Vietnam, 1969, our country lost twice as many dead as we have lost in Iraq and Afghanistan combined over the past 10 years of war. 1968 was worse. 1967 was about the same. And there's not a day that goes by when I do not think about the young Marines that I was privileged to lead. Those young Marines that I led so many years ago have grown older now. They've lived lives of courage, both in combat and after their return, where many of them were derided by their own peers for having served. That was a long time ago. They are not bitter. They know what they did. But in receiving veterans' benefits, they are not takers. They are givers in the ultimate sense of the word. There's a saying among war veterans, all gave some gave all. That's not a culture of dependency. It's a part of a long tradition that gave this country its freedom and its independence. They paid, some with their lives, some through wounds and disabilities, some through their emotional scars, some through lost opportunities and delayed entry into civilian careers, which had already begun for many of their peers who did not serve. And not only did they pay, they will not say this, I will say it for them. They are owed. They are owed. If nothing else, at least a mention, some word of thanks and respect when a presidential candidate who's their generational peer makes a speech accepting his party's nomination to be commander-in-chief. And they're owed much more than that, a guarantee that we will never betray the commitment that we made to them and to their loved ones.
Yeah, really, really well done. And, you know, I for full disclosure, Senator Webb, at the beginning of the campaign cycle, at one point refused to campaign on behalf of Barack Obama, not because he necessarily disliked the president. He thought that he was retiring, his voice wouldn't matter. And, yeah, he had some differences with him. But as he's seen this this race kind of tumble on and see what a mess Mitt Romney is making out of everything, he certainly felt compelled to share with you his thoughts, and I thought that I would share them with you as well, because they were very well, Very well done. Let me leave you with this. We've got just enough time for this. Chris Matthews talks about voter suppression, more specifically in Pennsylvania, but he makes it personal, and I think you need to hear his story because it's one of many, and that's why laws should not be black and white. Listen to this.
Let me finish tonight with the real-life consequence of this bad voter photo law in Pennsylvania. My high school English teacher, Gerald Tremblay, has been caring for his wife these recent years. She suffered a serious stroke and has been unable to get out and about. She can no longer drive a car and therefore has no driver's license. Unable to travel, she has no up-to-date passport. But she is fully alert and very much alive intellectually, and thanks to her husband, she keeps up with the news. He holds the newspapers up for her to read, and she's very eager to vote this year. And therein lies the problem, this new problem. The new Pennsylvania law, pushed through by Republicans in the legislature, requires that to get an absentee ballot, which is needed in this case, you need to produce a government-issued photo ID. Well, think about the obstacles this presents here. Mr. Tremblay would have to take his wife to the PennDOT headquarters, his wife being a serious stroke victim, simply to get the ID card that the new law now requires. Now, we have no idea if this is the kind of person the GOP lawmakers in Harrisburg were out to keep from voting. What we do know is the predicament they've created for her, a consequence of their slick move, in the words of a top Republican in Pennsylvania, in the legislature, to deliver the Commonwealth's electoral votes to Romney. I would think this case is a good example of why justice requires action by the courts to stop this unfair new law from taking effect barely a month from now. What I didn't say is that Gerald Tremblay is the greatest teacher I ever had, anyone ever had. If he's as good a caregiver as he was a teacher, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. But this law needs to be changed now so that his wife can cast her ballot like every other registered Pennsylvania voter.
Yeah, so the next time one of you trolls said, just show your ID, it's not that hard, what's the big deal? Tell them to this couple. Tell them that. You know, it's not everything is crystal clear. Not everything is neatly divided. Not everything is right and wrong, black and white, left and right. Not everything is that. Sometimes it's just about right and wrong. Sometimes it's just simply about doing the compassionate thing. But that's where we really run into problem along the political spectrum. Compassion is seen as weakness by a certain segment of our society, and by the other part of that society, it really means openness, caring, opportunity. Wow, there's a word. But maybe that's what the conservative ilk in this country are fighting for. The lack of opportunity, the lack of seriousness, the lack of needed voices in the process. If we truly lived in a representative government, we would not have the government that we have. Really, seriously, take a gut check, take a step back, and really take a look in your political mirror and ask yourself this question and just answer it honestly. Are the people that have been elected to represent us, are they truly representatives? Answer that question honestly, and you've got your answer. And if you're not happy with the way this country's going, again, irrespective of political party, don't you think it's time for change? I thought so. Let's take a quick break here. Dan Stamper from the Ambassador Bridge Company on Proposal 6 when First Shift continues right after this on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
A multi-vehicle accident is causing backups. M14 westbound between Curtis Road and the Ford Road exit. Also, we have an accident blocking your right shoulder. I-696 eastbound at the Woodward Ave exit. And slow-moving traffic, I-275 southbound between 8 Mile and 6 Mile Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69. And it's currently 54 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Hear what I say, and hear what I say loud and clear. I am not pro-abortion. I am pro-choice. And if you don't know the difference between the two, you never will. Listen to me. There is no connection or correlation between rape and abortion. And that anybody would make that leap is absolutely disgusting.
First Shift with Tony Trio
on 1310 WDTW.
Mark Hanna, the Karl Rove of the old robber baron era, explained long ago that there are two things that are important in politics. The first is money, and I can't remember the second. In just the past decade, corporate cash has moved from merely talking in our elections to shouting, and now to sliming. A new report by two public interest organizations, Demos and U.S. PIRG, documents that the people's voice was shouted down in this year's presidential primaries by a tsunami of slime, an unprecedented wave of negative super PAC ads financed by a few plutocratic super donors. How few? Only 1,082. A mere 0.0004% of the U.S. population put up 94% of the cash for all the super PAC ads. Well, over half of that money came from, get this, only 47 special interest funders putting up $1 million or more each. Far from providing electoral enlightenment, a staggering 70% of this year's presidential ads have been negative attacks, mostly vitriolic, depressingly nasty ads. That's up from only 9% 4 years ago. Count on this ugly money assault growing more extreme this fall as unlimited cash floods directly from corporate coffers into secret front groups run by the likes of Karl Rove and the Koch brothers. In July, the Senate debated a modest bill to require that corporate donors who are spreading this slime at least have to tell voters who they are. But a Republican filibuster shut down the debate and prevented a vote from even being taken. GOP leader Mitch McConnell rose on his hind legs to defend the clandestine corporate purchase of the People's Democratic Authority, bizarrely blathering that disclosing the names of the purchasers would amount to donor harassment. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the full report, go to demos.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, TRUPIANO.
Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And as promised, we continue our ongoing series on looking at the proposals. One of them is Proposal 6, which, like all of them, has some people a little more confused than others. Even though the language on them is fairly clear, I understand the confusion. I am not judging anyone. But we have to give everybody an opportunity to explore all of them. One of the goals that we've had over the last month or more has been to make sure that we educate you on these proposals so that you can all make an educated decision. Interestingly, as it comes to Proposal 6, this is not a new issue. In fact, it's been on TV for months, just not always as a proposal. Sometimes it's just been a defense. And as we turn our attention to our next guest, we'll ask him why we should be supporting Proposal 6. I now welcome to the show the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company, Dan Stamper. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Tony.
Well, I appreciate that. Listen, we've explored all the proposals at this point, and so now it's time to take a look at Proposal 6. Dan, exactly what does Proposal 6 ask of the voter?
All Proposal 6 is asking is that if the state of Michigan, which is owned by all the citizens of Michigan, is going to get involved in a project, a billion-dollar mega project like an international bridge, that the voters would have a say. And as you and your listeners probably know from this governor having a say is not always what's in his best interest. So Proposal 6 isn't whether you support a new bridge or you don't. It's just the right to have a say in a vote, whether you do or you don't, at a later date.
All right, so if we are to vote yes on Proposal 6, that means that we, as again, as you said, as the owners, if you will, of the state of Michigan, get a say-so on whether or not a bridge gets built?
That's right, and it also allows the folks in Michigan to better understand what this project is about, because as it stands right now, the legislature has said no to this bridge over and over again. And the governor says, I don't care what the legislature says, I know better. And 600,000 citizens of Michigan signed petitions saying we want the right to understand this and determine if it's good for us or it's not good for us. And the governor says, I don't care what those 600,000 folks say. So Proposal 6 is nothing but an effort to allow the citizens of Michigan to have a vote on a project like this bridge.
Well, you and I, of course, talk privately, and so I want to say that up front. One of the questions I asked you off the air is people are going to say, well, this sounds, of course, very self-serving. We know the Ambassador Bridge Company wants to build the new bridge. We know that they already own the old one. And isn't this a little bit of a monopoly? Isn't this just about their own vested interest? How do you respond to that, Dan Stamper?
Well, you know, we've been in this business. The Ambassador Bridge has been part of Detroit and Windsor and Michigan and Ontario for 80-some years. Over the last 15 years, I've been involved in preparing to build a second span here with the support of the governments. And as we move forward investing hundreds of millions of dollars, everybody was in agreement of what we were going to do. And then a few years ago, Canada says, we don't want a private-owned bridge. We're going to move a mile west and build a government-owned bridge. And the governor of the state of Michigan has gone along with that, notwithstanding that the Michigan legislature has said no for years and that 600,000 folks signed petitions saying, wait a minute, we want a right to determine what we want for Michigan. So from our perspective, we've invested a lot of hard work. We operate the most efficient border crossing in North America, and that's been identified by Federal Highway and other reports. And we've done it in a way that hasn't cost or risked the taxpayers for 80 years.
And now we're
being pushed, just like Detroit is, by the governor to do something different.
Well, I do want to point out to this audience that the Ambassador Bridge is a union bridge. You have worked successfully with the Teamsters for many, many years. Kevin Moore, who you know quite well and is a regular guest on this program, has said on this very air that the Maroon family and the Ambassador Bridge Company have been excellent employers and have treated his membership very fairly, and they do make a comfortable living. So I do want to say that moving forward. And I would ask Dan Stamper, if you do ultimately get the right to build the bridge, would that also be, if you will, a union bridge as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been, as I said earlier, we've been in business for 83 years, 84 years. Our people have been unionized since, I think, 1954 or 56. And so we may be one of the oldest union shops in Detroit, and our relationship with Teamsters has always been good. And so anything that we do going forward, Kevin and I have talked about this. We are a union shop. We're not trying to become a non-union shop. And our relationship with the unions have been good, and we look forward to continuing that.
I also want to point out, Kevin has tried to reach out to the governor's office. If indeed it goes in that direction and the state were to build the bridge or be involved in that, that they will not even have a conversation about whether or not they'll use union union builders on that project. And so that's been quite frustrating for the entire labor community, Dan Stamper, as the governor will not commit to using union labor.
Well, I think it's become even worse than that Tony. The governor has written to Federal Highway asking for a waiver of the Buy American clause in federal law. His arrangement, or so-called arrangement, he's negotiated with Canada, allows Canada to supply all the materials and the labor for this project, and he has to get a waiver from the federal government to allow that materials to be acquired in Canada instead of the U.S. So, you know, as the governor keeps saying, it's a free bridge. There is no free bridges. And I think that from the perspective of not only Michigan, but the rest of the U.S., the governor is turning over what could be a major boon for U.S. workers and giving it to Canada and asking the U.S. government to waive the Buy American clause. Our position has been that the benefits that we all hear about of building another bridge, the benefits of jobs, the benefits of investment, the benefits of future trade, all of those come from our bridge, equal to whatever this government bridge would supply. So, you know, our position has been and continues to be, let's talk about the reality, not projections that people do. We get assaulted, as you know, by what's called the Truth Squad, which is the governor, saying, their claims are wrong, their claims are wrong. You go back and look at the history. We've been saying for years that the traffic volumes that are going to come in this corridor are not going to sustain the investment that would be needed for this bridge. For years, they called us liars. Now
they're still calling you liars. Well, you know, Dan Samper, they're still calling you liars. And there are a lot of people that would say that the advertisements that the Ambassador Bridge Company or an affiliated group have been putting on air have not been truthful and that they are not telling the proper story. How do you respond to that?
Well, if you know, anyone who would take the time to go back and look at the testimony that I've given, our company has given to the Michigan State Legislature in the last 10 years, and we were called liars at that time, distorting the truth, distorting the facts, and the state continued to say the bridge will pay for itself, traffic's going to grow at 10%, this is a no-brainer. And now they're admitting, even in this contract that the governor signed, that traffic did not grow as they projected and will not grow as they projected, and the bridge is not financially sustainable on its own. It has to be subsidized. For years, they said we were distorting the facts by saying that. Now they're admitting it. And I think the ads that we run are accurate ads. There are studies or projections by the governor that says it could be different. But I think a year from now, 2 years from now, when the voters would have a right to vote on this bridge, the facts will be out again, that the claims that we make are factual. We understand this business. We've been in it a long time. And the history has proven that the statements made by the Department of Transportation and the governor's office have not borne out to be truthful or accurate.
Dan Stamper, again, my guest. He's the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company. We have to take a break here in just a minute, and I'm hoping you can stay with us, Dan. But let me ask this question before we get to the break. If you're what you're saying is true, this is a simple question. Listen, you know your numbers better than I do. Do we need another bridge?
No. The facts are that traffic is down 40-some percent. And, you know, that's part of our claim along the way, and we were criticized for it. The facts are, now looking at the actual traffic, traffic is still down 40%. So the idea of an emergency or a crisis of having another bridge is not accurate at all today, tomorrow, or even 25 years from now. Our issue is we've got an 83-year-old bridge. We maintain it well. We can build a new one, take advantage of the fast availability of the customs clearance, and save a lot of the expense on the maintenance of the old bridge by doing the repairs without traffic on it.
All right, we've got to take a quick... All right, Dan, thanks. We got to take a quick break. Stay where you're at. We'll come back. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. Proposal 6 is the question. We'll get to some more answers right after we do this.
Ship with Tony Triano.
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now, Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson, our friend Kevin Holley.
Judges are very concerned that they are, you know, handing down sentences that they think are appropriate for the situations. You know, they've been through the process with the person that's been through the court system. They've been identified in terms of the sentence that they want to impose on these folks, and then things change all of a sudden when they get into the jail system. So it's a public safety issue. We're releasing prisoners, but at the end of the day, we're also just not looking ahead. We're not planning. We're not ready for the situations that we're facing in Oakland County. It just shows another lack of leadership.
On 1310 WDTW.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 9 o'clock, and welcome back. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. My guest again is Dan Stamper. He is the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company. I appreciate him giving so generously of his time today. He also gave me a lot of time off the air. We had a long conversation last Thursday or Friday. Maybe it was a Thursday or Friday before that. But I asked him some very tough questions, and he answered them. So, Dan, thank you for that. I appreciate you staying with us. We do have a couple callers, so let's go to the phones and welcome Fred in St. Clair to First Shift. Fred, you're on the air with Dan Stamper.
Thank you. The Canadian government seems to have a dog in the fight because of the location of the bridge. They don't want it, from what I understand, in the location that the bridge company wants to build, Mr. Stamper's bridge company. The other thing is, if it's such a bad idea, why do they want to build a bridge?
Oh, those are two good questions. Fred, thanks for the call. Dan, we'll throw it to you.
Okay, let me first address the location. The bridge was picked by the government where it's located today when it was built in the 20s, and it was picked because the major roads connect to it, and the freeways, as they were developed, were connected near it and on the U.S. side now to it. And the only issue in Canada, I keep hearing, and I think your listeners probably hear, that we dump traffic into downtown Windsor, which is not true, and everybody who lives in Windsor or who uses the bridge understands that. One of the best roads in Ontario is here on Church that leads to the bridge. Also, the the Essex Parkway, the Windsor-Essex Parkway that's being built as part of the so-called Drick Bridge, fixes 9 to 11 kilometers from the end of the freeway in Canada straight toward the Ambassador Bridge. So our location is 9 out of the 11 kilometers of road is being fixed as we speak. It's under construction, and that freeway is headed directly to the Ambassador Bridge, and then it makes a left turn for 2 kilometers to head toward the Drick Bridge. There, Canada has a plan to finish 401 right to our bridge. They just don't want to put it on the table at this time and admit that that is a possibility.
You know, before we go back to the phone, Dan, you and I, had, again, when we talked privately, I'd asked you this. I had told you the rumor was the Canadian government did not want to work with the Ambassador Bridge Company. You told me that was patently not true.
Well, I'll say it two ways. The Ambassador Bridge was created by a special act of both Congress and Parliament of Canada, and it's called reciprocal legislation. Both countries had to agree that they would pass legislation allowing the Ambassador Bridge to be one whole bridge, and under certain conditions, this is how it exists. That legislation is specific for our bridge, not for any bridge, and it is in existence, has been for 80 years, and can't be denied by one party or the other. It's reciprocal. So our right to exist, our right to twin our bridge, expand our bridge, improve our bridge, has been confirmed in writing from the State Department on the U.S. side, and is confirmed in our legislation in Canada. So this issue of Canada won't allow us to land is false. We've already landed. We've been there for 83 years. We've already built the expanded plaza in Canada for the new bridge. And the issue is Canada's putting money on the table to try to get Michigan to fight with us because they don't want to.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
Our issues are there's a lot of stuff being said and a lot of stuff going on. But we were created by government only to do what we're doing.
Dan, that's exactly why I have you here today. Because all we do is hear criticism and rumors, and that's why I have you here today. I wanted to give you a chance to certainly present your side of this. Let's go back to the phones and say good morning to Dave in Sterling Heights. Dave, appreciate you calling this morning. You're on the air with Dan Stamper.
Yes, sir. Hello. I just wanted to pose two questions. One, the gentleman talked about them owning the bridge for 83 years. They haven't owned it for 83 years. I believe they just bought it in 1997, I think, around the late 90s. That's one question. And the other question is, I'm not sure why they're concerned about what the people want right now, because I believe they closed the street downtown Detroit without asking anyone or the city of Detroit and put up a fence and tried to keep people out of there and closed off the whole street. And there was a business on the street. It was documented in the paper that they closed off the street and was starving this one business guy out.
All right, well, Dave, slow down. Thank you for the questions. I appreciate it. The first one was actually a statement, not a question, but I appreciate the call, Dave. Dan, I'll let you go ahead and address that.
Right. The bridge has been privately owned and operated since its inception in the 20s. Our company bought the bridge in 1979, and we've operated it since then.
Okay. That's the answer to the question.
It's always been privately owned, operated by the Detroit International Bridge Company.
Okay, fair enough. And I understand, you know, Dave, I understand your frustration. Listen, they dealt with that from a legal perspective. It has been corrected, but like so many of these things, they get obfuscated. And I heard you getting a little bit angry, Dave, and I get that. But this is not all Dan Stamper's fault. Let me make that clear as well.
And let me add to that, Tony, that, you know, we are standing up against a number of levels of government that have a lot of luxuries and a lot of tools to throw stones at us as a private company. And believe it or not, they're doing it and have been for a long time. So, you know, we're a private company trying to operate the best bridge in North America and have been for a long time. and the governments have their own desires, whether it's right or wrong. And this governor, you know, has his desires and believes he's better armed at making decisions for Detroit, for us, for Michigan, than the legislature or the people.
All right, well, we're running short of time, Dan. I want to get to one more call. But before I do that, it's something I believe I said to you off air that I want to say on air. I believe in capitalism. I believe in success. I believe in excess success. All right? I have nothing. You guys have been wildly successful. And I understand that automatically brings criticism. It does. And I have said this, whether we're talking about my dislike for a certain presidential candidate, I have never had a problem with how successful he is. I've never had a problem with success in general. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. So let's be careful what we're criticizing. Very quickly, Joe and East Point. Joe, you got to get right to your point.
Address the voting part of it. I did some research some months ago. The original bridge, the bridge that stands now, was voted on by the people of Detroit. They were petitioned to hold a referendum as to bridge or no bridge, and the people voted yes, let's build a bridge. A vote was held, and it passed.
All right, Joe, I'm going to have to thank you. Dan, that's it. We're out of time. I appreciate so much you giving us some time today. Obviously, you want people to vote yes on 6.
I think people have a right to vote yes on 6 and have a right to ask the hard questions about what this state is doing. And we hope they do vote yes on Proposal 6.
Dan, thanks so much for your time once again. Dan Stapper with the Ambassador Bridge Company. Folks, we just have to get to the top of the hour break. Joe DeSano when we continue.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
If you're traveling along I-75 northbound, there's an accident blocking both the right and left shoulders at the I-96 Jeffries Freeway, exit 48. Also an accident blocking your right shoulder, I-696 eastbound at the Woodward Ave exit. And two lanes are blocked, Ryan Road northbound between East 13 Mile Road and East 14 Mile Road. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 68. Tonight, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 69, and it's currently 54 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members...